You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors on the fourth day of this trading week, and the fourth day happens to be the last trading day of this week because it's Women's Day tomorrow, a public holiday in South Africa. So to wrap up the week with me this evening is our resident commentator, and that's Greg Davies, chief trader at Kratos Capital, and also, of course, David Shapiro every Thursday from Sasfin Securities, also from Johannesburg. David, I'm looking at the S&P. Yeah, S&P futures up 32. I'm looking at the figure of 2913.62. Now, two nights ago, actually, I think it was in the early hours of Tuesday morning, it was 2776. This is a really big bounce back.
Yeah, it's a huge bounce back, and it's very relieving. And I'm talking from a global economy point of view that the markets have come back, meaning that maybe the strategy that China's employing by steadying its currency is giving a little bit of comfort to investors. Remember, we haven't got any trade tariffs yet. They only come through in September. So I think there's a view that that maybe some kind of common sense will prevail. And even 10%, I think the market can absorb that. So I'm surprised, and I must say I'm very comforted that the market is where it is. But I wouldn't say that people are not jumpy and people are rushing in. I still think that there's a lot of nervousness about where this can go. And of course, what we did see is a bounce in commodity prices, dollars softening off a little bit, and also globally interest rates picking up, in other words, rising from yesterday's very, very low level. So I think that's very broadly the backdrop, but I don't think it's the kind of thing that, you know, one can build on yet.
Greg Davies, let's have a look at what you think about the market. I mean, you're an assiduous market watcher. I mean, you do it for a living. You watch every single tick, and you've got a great network of influencers that feed you information. What's the mood on the JSE, and what has the mood been since last Thursday, which is the date that David and I were just talking about?
Yeah, I mean, David's quite right. It's a nice bounce back. I think your screen is a little bit behind. I see the S&P's back over 3,000. Another 10
points. Not 3,000.
No. Yeah. Sorry.
Yes. Sorry. 2,900.
Yes. My screen might do. Yeah.
But we're 2,914 at the moment, right, or thereabouts.
Yeah.
I wish we were 3,000, but anyway.
Maybe I'm dreaming. But yeah, overall, the sentiment is feeling a little bit more positive. David was giving his shocks of the day, and some of them we'll go through later. But so, you know, developed markets seem to be bouncing back. The Dow up 160 at the moment, looking a bit more better, but there's still that cautious feel. There are buyers, but they're not really running at the sellers at the moment. It's just bottom picking and people looking for bargains in the market.
Yes, indeed. Let me give you the spot prices just to give us a backdrop to this conversation now. And I'll start with the currencies, as I always do, because we've got the dollar rand at 15.05, the British pound against the rand 18.28, and the euro rand 16.87. I wish it was 15.87. The euro dollar is 1.12.10, a very slightly weaker euro, very slightly stronger US dollar. And the gold price, well, goodness me, it's still very, very good compared to where it was at the beginning of the year. It's $14.96. It's down $5.50 on the day. The platinum price is $8.61, down $3.50. And Greg, give us the palladium price, please, because as you know, my share net screen doesn't allow me to get that.
Yes, $13 better at $14.32.
Okay, the Brent crude oil price is $57.57, which is up 13 cents per barrel. And that is, in anybody's language, that's $19 worse than it was 2 months ago. Dow Jones is up 186 points at the moment, up 0.7%. The S&P is a 1.1% winner at the moment. Greg Davies said it was above 3,000, but of course he was just joking with us. It's actually 2,916. The Nasdaq is up 1.4%. Let's talk about a couple of stocks now, because we've got a day off tomorrow, so we can indulge ourselves with a little bit of play acting. But let's have a look at a couple of shares that have been in the news in South Africa. The first one, I think, is Aspen. Aspen worries me a little bit, and I want to bring Discovery into that as well. Which one of you wants to pick Aspen? Which one of you wants to pick Discovery?
David, I think you're stronger on Discovery there.
I looked at Discovery today, and I've been watching it for some time and watching it weaken. And I've been a little cautious about them because of, number one, the cost of their overseas expansion, and also the fact that locally things are slowing down. But over the last 2 weeks, I've really become extremely concerned because the share, which was holding up at about 140, down from highs of around about 160. I can't remember where they got there, when they got there. But at 140, it was in line with where the market was. It was holding its own. But since then, it's come from 140 to today's price of 115, which is a massive fall in a very short time.
It's huge.
And also what's disturbed me is that the momentum behind it, you know, when you look at volumes behind the downplay, you reckon that the sellers are in descendancy, in the ascendancy, or in other words, they're very strong.
Yes.
So, Lindsay, it concerns me why they would have fallen so fast. I know the NHI bill came through today. It's just to explain, it's a national health insurance bill, which government wanted to introduce by 2022. I mean, that's 2 years away at a cost of $256 billion. Well, it's crazy. It's not going to happen. At that kind of price, we just haven't got the kind of money. And maybe the market is assuming or believing that Discovery will, in the end, suffer as a result of this. I don't know whether it's going to force everybody onto one bill and away from private medical aids, but it could be associated that, or it could be other stories. I don't know the real story, but I think, you know, very, very troubling that they have fallen so fast to these levels, which I don't think we've seen for 2, 3, 4 years. In Discovery. So
how do you approach this now? I mean, it's a great company run by an innovative CEO, but obviously the asset managers and the investors got a little bit carried away by pushing it up to where it was, but now a sort of reality looms. How do you approach this now, David? Do you say to yourself, well, there's no smoke without fire, or do you say to yourself, this is a massive, massive buying opportunity?
No. You're not going to buy if you don't know the reason that it's come down. Yeah. You know, and I know we're going to talk about Cecil and Aspen as well. And it's a similar thing. You say, hold on a sec. I've got to do my homework. You know, what analysts are telling me and what the markets are telling me are in conflict, two different ends. And I tend to believe the market. You know, when you see the kind of volumes behind the selling, you'll say, well, why are these people selling and why are they so desperate to sell? So that's a disturbing development. And if we find out this is the reason, the story is not true, if it's got to do with the NHI, maybe it is a buying opportunity. But I think that, you know, when you say no smoke without fire, I think these cases, one's got to be very careful and look very deeply into what is troubling the market.
Greg, you go over to Aspen, because this one has been one that has been eroding value, eroding wealth for a while now, and it's done it in a sort of stealthy way. And this one disturbs me as well.
Yeah, and I mean, the interesting way to look at it is at 10 o'clock this morning, there was a SENS announcement out saying that the PIC had increased their stake in Aspen just north of 15%. I think each 5% they have to notify investors on the Stock Exchange News Service. And that took the share from around 84 Rand 40 by midday. It was back at 85 Rand 80, still a long way off the highs, but it was encouraging. And then into the close, again, what David was saying on the volume, quite big volume, about 870 million rands for the shares traded today, but only up 65 cents at 84 Rand 53. You wonder if the market isn't thinking, along with this whole NHI, which could put Discovery under pressure, the government may sort of start to try and dictate to the drug companies the markups they can make. And that the market might be seeing that as a theme. Anybody in the medical space is going to come under pressure.
Quite right. I mean, there's a worldwide movement to bring drug prices down. And I must say that President Donald J. Trump is not a friend of mine, but he wants drug prices to come down. And I think he's absolutely right in that regard. There's loads of other stuff today. We've got Standard Bank's results, AngloGold Ashanti's results. We've got MTN's results as well. David, MTN, I've always thought that this company has almost a perpetual whiff of scandal about it. What do you think of these numbers?
You know, it's too early. Number one, it's an extremely complicated business.
Yes.
And the problem is that when you start to look at the results, there are about 100 asterisks on each number, meaning that not one of them, every one of those has been adjusted for the various IFRSs, 15s and 17s and 19s and... And, you know, and
you're
so
losing
on.
Me.
And
anyway, go on.
You lose it. Exactly. I lose you. I lose interest. I say, hold on a sec. How has this company done? And I think when we dig through it, they've got a plan to sell off a lot of unwanted assets to raise money, reduce debt, and hopefully focus on the areas where they can make money and big money and growth. And I think that's going to take some time to implement. Now, the first thing I do is say, look, I can't understand the results. To be honest, I haven't really got time in a very difficult day. Mm. What does the market say about them? Sure. So I go to the market says lousy results, down 3%. So I suppose that kind of sums up where they are. They're still battling very hard to make up ground after those, after Nigeria imposed or accused them of paying back money that they shouldn't have or remitting money and so on. They're creeping up slowly, but they need good results to really get to really get up. But for the meantime, I'm just holding back on this one. You know, I watch, I try to read, I try to gather what they're doing, but I've got no very strong, I've got no strong views about about who they are.
Greg, you've got strong views on MTN because it's one that you occasionally trade on behalf of your short-term trading clients.
Yes, I mean it's interesting, and I actually since Rob Shooter, if you just pulled up a graph. Since Rob Shooter's been there, it's been actually a different company. The share price has performed a lot better. Mm. He does have a little bit of a rock star CEO feel about him, and he gave a very good account.
Rob Shooter, a rock star, yeah?
Well, I mean, a CEO rock star. I'm not sure he can sing that well.
Please.
But I'm saying the share price, since he's been the CEO, it's been a different animal. I mean, we were talking this morning about levels of 75 and 70 before the previous set of results, 109.47. It is down 2.8% from yesterday's close, but it's a long way from the 75 when everyone was painting the worst case scenario. A couple of hedge fund mates, I'll see them in the pub later. They're all short MTN, so I'm wishing them good luck.
Well, they're 2.87% to the good today. This is what I don't like about it. I spoke about this, David, with Greg this morning on the opening. I don't like the PR. The PR is fine for a glossy brochure, but when you're coming out with a stock exchange news service announcement, you don't say the following. You do not say this. We are inspired by our belief that everyone deserves the benefits of a modern connected life. No. I mean, give me a break.
The market wasn't inspired.
That was EOH type stuff, and sometimes you get that kind of stuff at Discovery where they use superlatives and very glossy and fancy. You want to go to Capitec or down to those kind of companies to say, we make money this way.
Yes.
We lend a client R2 and he pays us back R2.50. We keep the 50 cents. That I understand,
Exactly.
That's the kind of language I understand.
Precisely, exactly. We're inspired. We're inspired to take your money from you. That's brilliant. Are you inspired every time my MTN phone call goes down? Yeah, that's not inspiring for me. Thank you very much.
I just on the cell companies, on the mobile companies, I think the one thing that worries me immensely is that it still requires a huge amount of cash to develop these businesses. There's a massive demand on CapEx. And yet the product that they produce, which is either data or voice, whatever it is, data today is the big one. Everybody wants it for free. Nobody wants to pay for that. And it always concerns me whether it's Vodacom, Cell C, anybody, or even overseas, T-Mobile and Verizon, etc. Everybody wants data for nothing, and they've got to look at other ways in order to make profits. And sooner or later, that's going to catch us.
Yeah, the other problem is the government hasn't released all of the spectrum. If the cell phone companies could get hold of this much stronger spectrum, they wouldn't need as many towers as they've got. There's one on top of every building in Joburg so that we can all talk to each other. But if the spectrum was stronger, the bigger spectrums, which are still available, government sitting on them, if those were available, then the data prices, the price of calls would fall. It's again the government at fault here, in my view.
AngloGold Ashanti is streamlining its portfolio to ensure greater management focus and to concentrate its capital on projects delivering the highest returns. The company has received strong interest for its remaining South African assets. and this is a key thing to me, it's remaining South African assets. Separate sale processes are underway for its holdings in the Cerro Vanguardia mine in Argentina and the Sadiola mine in Mali. David, you're not a big gold share fan, because obviously it's a psychological thing, because the first order you ever had on the JSC in Diagonal Street was a Lorraine order, and you messed it up. So you've obviously got a problem with gold shares.
Well, I could recite every gold share that was on the JSC in the 1970s.
Go on then.
So I'd say I could.
Diefontein, Kloof.
You know, you remember that? The President Brands, President Staines, West Deeps, you know, Western Holden. I knew whichever. Yeah. We had Virginias and Virginia, Mary Sprite, Harmony, you know, Harder, Beersfontein, Zandpan, you name them. We had all of them. I went down South Vaal, I went down St Helena. But what worries me about gold mining companies is that it's getting more and more expensive, certainly in South Africa, to extract whatever gold there is. And that's why Anglo Gold are pulling out of South Africa and naturally focusing on higher grade places. I still think it's a geared play. It's a, you know, these operations are extremely difficult and costly, as you pick up in the in the production report today. Just looking ahead, they give you some kind of focus on what lies ahead, and that's why the share was down. I know the gold price is holding its own, but I would imagine that there's a difficult outlook. So you're probably making more money on actually holding gold than on some of these geared plays.
Greg, tell us what Anglo Gold Ashanti has done.
I can just jump in there. David's father used to be on the trading floor with a yellow badge. The only words on it were "buy gold." Gold bull I've ever met. Have you still got it, though?
But, you know, Greg, just as a matter of history, and Lindsay, they used to make money from at the stage when South Africa was at its greatest. People used to they all used to, when it was as great as in the 70s, 1960s, 70s. We used to get huge orders from overseas to buy gold shares from the US, from Europe, you know, your Belgium, Paris, the UK, Zurich were very big areas in that. And we used to trade them because there was a difference in pricing. You know, the communications weren't where they were. And that's where my dad used to trade, you know.
Yes.
They were almost the equivalent of modern hedge fund traders today, you know. And
arbitrage going on, is what you're saying, David.
That's what it was. They made their money through arbitrage, through price differences. But trading in gold shares, which there was a natural market globally for, in some big centers, and that would include De Beers was also a massive trader, the platinum counters and so on, and also the mining houses.
Occasionally you would hear people trying to speak broken French phoning into Belgium to try and get a market in a gold share.
It was always the Belgium dentists, you know. Yeah, there was used to say that, hey, that's right. They love gold shares.
Okay, you two old farts. Greg, you've got to give us the Anglo Gold Ashanti closing price. And let's not forget that this used to be the gold division of Anglo American PLC. But also there were trading updates today from Goldfields and Sibanye. Just give us a brief gold synopsis today, please.
Okay, well, let's start with Anglo Gold, just to put everyone in the picture. Down 5.5%, R302.48. I mean, it had given a trading update last week, which knocked the share back, I think, about 20 rand at the time. It was around 280, maybe to 260. So 302 and a much better gold price and a much weaker rand definitely helped them. We did have the update from Sibanye, which was expected. I think the results are end of this month. Initially, when the results came out, the share moved from sort of just above 20 rand up to yesterday's highs of 20 rand 80. By the end of the day, down 56 cents, down 2.7%. Just above 20 rand. But I mean, as we were saying, at the beginning of this bull run, it was around about 11 rand. They did do a massive book build at around 1550 as well. So it's had a good couple of months. Goldfields as well, that gave a trading update at 9:30 this morning. The share down 3%, 87 rand, 86. But I think that's more a play on the gold slipping below 1500 overnight.
City Lodge Hotels Limited, briefly, trading statement came out 8.2% weaker, gentlemen. This is a bad story. This is a South African bad story.
Yeah. You know what? This is when it used to be run by Hans Enderle, and I'm not criticizing current management, was a superb share that you could always rely on to give you a pretty good dividend yield. It was the businessman's choice of a hotel.
Yes.
And, you know, but this is a reflection of the economy at the moment. True. Business people are not traveling. It doesn't get any travel. You know, it's not. It doesn't get tourist kind of business. It's always placed near the city centres or where business is done. And it's always a great business. Yeah, you know, it's always a great place to stay, very cheap, etc. And one of the reasons you're seeing this kind of drop in their profitability is because occupancy rates are falling, and you know, it's very highly geared to it. I think they need like a 70% or 67-68%, and if it goes down to 63-62%, then you get this kind of effect on earnings. And there wasn't anything there. I don't think they gave the occupancy rates, but I would imagine that's what, you know, they're finding tightness in the economy. Mm. But it's a solid business. This has got, you know, management are doing as best as they can in very, very difficult times.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, normalized HEPS down between 17 and 22. And I mean, it's funny when you look at it, you sort of, you know, the market got a shock. It was trading at 108, finished at 99.58. But then you say, but what were we expecting really? I mean, we all know how bad the economy is. Mm-hmm. This shouldn't actually be a shock for anybody.
No, I mean, I watch this. I try to read all the results, and you kind of build up a little bit of a history in your own mind about businesses. And I've always had a very warm feeling about City Lodge. So I've stayed there.
Okay.
And, you go to a vending machine, that's what your breakfast is. They offer, you know, it's very low cost.
It's a good solid business, as you say, but people are not traveling. People haven't got the money to travel. They haven't got the money to stay in hotels. Okay, let's have a look at the top five major movers to the upside and the downside. And I'll start with the upside. Kumba Iron Ore, I think, let me just refresh my screen. Kumba Iron Ore. Yeah, 5.25% higher. Glencore up 4.9%. It's been under pressure recently. Motus up 3.7%. South 32 up 3.5%. And Billiton up 2.9%. So you've got commodity. Four of the five best performers today were mainly diversified commodity companies. David, you don't like them, though. You don't like the cyclicality.
They've done pretty well. I can't fault them, but I felt that from yesterday that there was a little bit of downward pressure on commodity prices, and I'm surprised that there's been such a sharp turnaround, particularly in the iron ore companies. I know iron ore, which hit 92 yesterday, is back at about 96, 97, but I'm not sure whether this is sustainable or not, or whether it's just picking up from a very sharp fall. Look, the Rand, but they were up in London. I was going to say the Rand, but not at all. Anglo's, all of the, even Glencore bounced. And Glencore's been in not a lot of trouble, but it's been under quite a bit of pressure recently. So nice, you know, Glencore's up there, Rio's, all of those companies are up in the UK. In fact, underpinning the gains that we've seen in the FTSE 100 today. So a sudden turnaround in resources, which I, a little difficult to, you know, for me to explain, the sudden sharp, you know, gains from yesterday's falls.
On the downside, we've got RCL, which is the old Rainbow Chickens, down nearly 11%. Discovery, massive, massive move, down 8.5%. Disturbing stuff, as we spoke about earlier on. Anglo Gold Ashanti, down 5.5%. RMH, down 4.5%. And Sappi, down 3.3% ahead of Women's Day tomorrow. I've written down a few things now. David, you have got your normal story of the day, or is it shock of the day this week? We'll come to that in a moment. Before you get to that, I'm going to ask Greg this question. There's a UN climate change report that I've just tried to start reading because it's voluminous in its nature. It says, the headline is, we must change our food habits now. In other words, you mustn't eat meat. What did you have for lunch today, Greg?
Yeah, I'm a Dijon fillet dead bellini.
Yeah, so the flesh of an animal slain in anger, yeah? In other words.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, as we've discussed on the pod before, I'm not a believer in this climate change malarkey.
What do you mean? For the last 70 years, the average temperature of the world has been going up. That's climate change, Greg.
1,000 years before that, do we know that? Do we have the data?
Of course we do.
They go read the... You must go read The Economist. Well, it's last week's Economist, because I think there's a new one out tomorrow morning on the destruction of the Amazon forests.
Yes.
And the pressure on the president of Brazil simply because of what they're doing to climate change and so on. So read that first.
He's a Nazi, that guy.
I know.
But I always think of you, who's going to make money out of these carbon taxes? It's government. Are they going to make up a story that the end of the world's coming?
So you don't believe there's climate change, Greg?
I don't chicken lick it.
Greg,
you
don't believe there's climate change?
No such thing.
You're testing our friendship, really, really, really. A couple of other things that I've written down here. The Heinz share price, Warren Buffett, another one of your mates, Greg. Heinz down 13% at the moment. I'm looking at my screen. 90% of Adidas's marketing spend is now digital because of the youthful nature of their customers. 90% is now digital. Here's another one for you. Actually, David, I'll go over to you. Greg, your feature from now on Tuesdays and Thursdays is Digger Throws the Dice. That's your nickname, Digger. So Digger Throws the Dice. What dice are you throwing today, please?
Well, I actually wanted to ask David. I mean, I know you're supposed to ask the questions, but did you watch the move in Anheuser-Busch this afternoon? And someone was trying to explain to me that it might be connected to this share price falling at Kraft Heinz that we saw in the US as well. If you look at the chart there, from Hot Post 3 when the US opened, they just smashed it down.
For some reason, there's a connection and there's no connection, and that's why the people, laymen behind AB InBev or 3G are the people behind Kraft Heinz. Although there is absolutely no connection between the two businesses, but it's odd that this always happens where Kraft Heinz comes back. It seems to reflect on AB InBev.
Okay.
So,
All right. 14% of jobs, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, will be lost in the next 20 years by automation. That's another point I want to make today, but Greg will obviously poo-poo that. And so, David, what is your shock or story of the day, please?
I have to look again. It's not a new one. It's Sasol, which took another leg down.
Did it,
we're now below 290. I keep drawing attention to this because we hope that by drawing attention to it, you're able to pick up where the troubles really are, because the pace, again, like Discovery, at which the share's falling is very, very troublesome. And in 290, I don't know when we last saw levels like this. So the oil price is picking up. The rand is in its favor. When I say the oil price has picked up, we had a little bit of a down day yesterday. It's been under pressure. But overall, it picked up quite nicely today. But it's been going against that trend. And it's obviously there are issues that are happening within the company that may have leaked out and forcing people out. But where do we close it down?
288,
288. I mean,
That's 2010, 2011.
Anyway, okay, so you've got David's shock of the day, you've had Digger throwing the dice, now you've got Lindsay's leak. Now, this is what I'm going to say to you now. Every morning I wake up and I wake up with negativity. And the reason I wake up with negativity is because of Donald J. Trump, the President of the United States of America. And I can't help myself. It's not his fault. It's my fault because I let myself get wound up by him. So every single day I start my day on a negative. So I'm going to read you this poem now. This is Lindsay's leak for the day. It's called America is a Gun. England is a cup of tea, France a wheel of ripened debris, Greece a short, squat olive tree. America is a gun. Brazil is football on the sand, Argentina Maradona's hand, Germany an umpire band. America is a gun. Holland is a wooden shoe, Hungary a goulash stew, Australia a kangaroo. America is a gun. Japan is a thermal spring, Scotland is a highland fling. Oh, better to be anything than America as a gun. And that's by an anonymous poet called Brian Bilston. We don't know who he is. Some people think it's Jeremy Clarkson.
Jeremy Clarkson.
It's a very, very good poem. And one of the reasons, I mean, what he's saying is, I hate Donald Trump and also previous administrators as well. But that's it. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time this evening. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and he was joined, as always, by Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com. made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.